get right back to our Thursday night special guest, Jim Oglesby, whose book, Travelers from Space, can be purchased and looked at. You can get a Kindle version for $2.99. Just click on Jim's name and guests, and you go right to the Amazon page for Travelers from Space. All right, now, we're going to go back to our illustrations. We're on the second picture, number two. This is, again, a very good-looking craft, a traditional, a classic, as it were. Jim spent hundreds of hours on these pictures to make sure they were as accurate as he could make them. Yeah. Okay, so we've got this is just at dark, you said, right?
Yeah, it's a new moon. It's well below the horizon, so imagine how dark it was. There were no streetlights in the area, nothing. So we're talking pitch black, yes.
And you saw the red lights, and then you could see a little bit of the hull. What would have been reflecting on that pewter quality hull? Just the red lights?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a picture that I just put this up. I didn't how can I put this? Oh, this was when I saw this shoot with the other one, they were probably less than a quarter of a mile away, obviously. So
now you were in the trailer, and you felt the need to go outside again, and that's when you saw these two ships?
Oh, I never went inside. Once the first ship came over my relative's mobile home, you know, and joined the other craft like this, and they landed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never went inside until sunrise the next day, yeah.
Now, they landed in the across the way again?
Uh-huh, in a field.
Same old thing. Now, you were out all night.
Yes, until daybreak. I wanted to just make sure I didn't miss anything, yeah.
Now, Jim, you don't know what really happened to you all night.
That's true.
All right.
That's true. All night.
So maybe there was more contact than you consciously remember.
Yeah, I think so. My feeling is... I think the nights that when I was on the porch and I was looking in one spot for hours, and the night the full probes came at my overhead with my brother, and I'm standing, we're looking straight up for a couple hours. Even he did it too. I'll speculate by saying, and I'm probably not far off track, they induced a trance state, because there was no missing time. So they induced like a trance state. Mm-hmm. In that trance state, they extracted data from my brain, and maybe from my brother's too. A very intrusive act, but very brief. They got the information they needed, because keep in mind that a couple months down the road, they were going to be involved in a very, very sensitive, liaison program.
Yeah.
And they wanted to make sure that I was deemed a safe conduit. And if I had not been, I had believed that, because they allowed me to be privy to these rendezvous. And so I had to be trustworthy.
The rendezvous, and if you go back and look at the earlier visits with Jim, were stunning. Startling.
Yeah.
Now, you were doing what at the Cape, very briefly again, so our listeners know of your connection?
Yeah, I worked for Bendix, and we were in a way, we had an electrical shop, a machine shop, and my job was I took care of ordering the components of the machine. And certifying for a certain Apollo program mock-ups, if you will. Little fabricated displays for the Apollo program, part of it, yeah.
Okay, all right, very good.
Yeah.
Now, let's go on to picture number three. So this is, number two shows one of two craft which rendezvoused together, then landed in the field, and Jim was out all night, but doesn't consciously recall going into the field. But that doesn't mean he might not have. We don't know. All right.
Yeah.
Now, the next picture, number three, is the little probe craft. Boy, about 2 feet in diameter, something like that?
Yeah, this is the one that you were really interested in. So what you're looking at, if you're looking at it, you can say that's about, it's about, well, about 2 feet in diameter. And
yeah.
I got it pegged, cause I got a real good look tonight. It was behind the mobile home, and I peeped around the corner.
Right. Jim went outside, and if you look at our last program, look at the pictures. He came outside, and he peeked around the corner, and 10 feet away or so is a window looking into the mobile home. And right outside the window, stationary, was hovering this little probe, obviously looking inside. Very interesting. Very
mm-hmm.
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you saw the probe come away from the recon ship. Did you ever see it coming in and out of another ship, or was it just there?
I never did, but I did some nights. I did get to see the direction of the section of the sky that it was coming from. It always came from the south and up high, probably, I'm guessing, probably a 45 degree angle coming down. It looked like coming down from the stars, but coming down from the south.
This little item coming down at about a 45 degree angle with a little blue light on it. The little blue light, did you ever feel that was, I hate to say flame because that wouldn't be it, but some other kind of energy like plasma? Or did you think it was a hard piece of equipment, that blue light?
The blue light was my feeling was electromagnetic, like a propulsive display of it coming off that rod. That was just my thought.
Right, there's a little rod inside that blue oval shaped light.
Yeah, looking like a little flame. But I was just thinking that was kind of. Could have been plasmic, but electromagnetic.
You never saw it flicker or anything like a flame, right?
Never did. It always, it either, when it would move slowly, it would pulse slowly. And as it increased its speed, it would pulse faster. So
I don't remember hearing this. This is very interesting. So somehow that was synced up with the drive system of this little craft.
Yeah, so it's slower. Yeah, when it got faster, it would start flashing faster, and the faster it moved, the faster that thing it would pulsate and flash.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Next picture. There's three of you standing outside on Highway 46, looking up at the moon, and there's a little white object in the middle of the moon, so to speak. What do you see?
On that particular night, I'm home. And my buddy Bill Barber sitting next to me with a buddy, a work associate at the Cape, and that's his wife Cheryl. They live in Titusville. I'm sitting in my room, and I got a hunch, and I drove 44 miles all the way down through town, all the way down 46 to get to this point. And right now, is about 13 miles west of. KSC area, Kennedy Space Center.
Okay, 15 miles west. Now, you had a hunch to drive down 46, right?
Yeah, and I drove all the way, an hour's drive almost, and I had them meet me there because my friend knew where this bridge was.
Did you call them and say, meet me at the bridge on Highway 46? I have a feeling something's going on?
Exactly, and Bill, he knew where this bridge was. It's called the Corny. Lake Harney, and that craft is probably about 13 miles west of Kennedy Space Center. Also, yeah, and it came up the St. John's River is right there below where the craft came up, and it was resting down inside there, you know. Just 13 miles west of...
And the craft looked just like a white, flat oval, sort of.
I could have illustrated more, but as it was coming up, you could see that it was an object. I didn't see any lights flashing on it. I forgot what I put in the book, but I remember now that all you could see it was coming up. Once it got up into the more, got higher, got more... cloak kind of.
And that it came toward you three?
No, it went straight up, and then it headed directly towards the moon until you couldn't see it anymore.
Oh, really?
Directly towards that full moon. Directly towards the full moon.
So yes. It came up in your field of view, right dead center in the moon, and then made a right angle turn or whatever and started to go toward the moon.
Yeah, and it didn't accelerate. It went very, very slow until you couldn't see it anymore, like they were not in any hurry.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim, yeah. What kind of phone are we on tonight? You're getting a little bit fuzzy, but it's fine. We can
I'm
hear
sorry.
You.
I'm on a cell.
All right, that's okay. Maybe turn your head, turn slightly so the cell has a different angle. Maybe it'll pick up a better signal. It's good enough.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Is
now,
that better?
Yeah, that's better. Okay, now this is your friend who was working with you at the Cape and his wife, who has the longest legs of anyone I've ever seen in your drawings.
She did have long legs, but those were a little too long.
Well, all right. And so you're all standing there, and what is he saying to you? Is this the first time he's seen anything that you've seen?
No, he was there with me on the night of March the 6th when that one craft with the red glow came over his car while he was en route to my house. Came over his car, paused right above his car, actually right above Old State Road 420. So,
that made him an interested party right then and there. So that's why he met you tonight. So all you saw, not that it wasn't much, it was a lot. This craft came up, stopped about midway up the moon, full moon, and went away. That was what you were supposed to see.
Yes. Yeah, you know, and what they were doing back then, I wasn't aware of it. I should have been more tuned into that. They were like George Zdansky. They were gathering a lot of people, you know, as support. And you know, had I entered the craft, maybe there would have been something different that would have went down. I don't know. That's a moot point now. But they were having people being with me as support to build up to something. Yes, absolutely.
Well, maybe George was on board one of those craft. Who knows?
He could have been.
Who knows? All right, let's go on to the next picture with Jim Oglesby. And here we are out. All right, we got a car parked, and you left your lights on.
Yeah.
It looks like a 64 Thunderbird almost. It's not, I don't think. What is it?
Okay, now, if you're looking at the scene, I kicked up the light on it so you could see that the three of us standing there on the right, there was a dark blue or black official-looking sedan with lights on.
And that car was not your car. Understood now.
No, that was the rendezvous car.
Oh, okay. So you're behind these shrubs.
Behind
First
these
of all, how did, what got you to... How did you end up with these shrubs?
Okay, if go back a little bit, I'm standing on State Road 420 outside of a gate, which is about a half a block away from where we're standing here.
Okay, same night?
Same night, September the 15th, and my mom and my niece is outside the gate, and we're standing there quietly swatting at mosquitoes because it was, you know, September and the bugs were out. And we're standing there, and all of a sudden, an amber beam just popped on above the orange grove, angled down at the orange grove.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that, I knew what it was. So I hopped over the gate. I took off running to the down, you know, and the dark of night down a white trail, and went to the end of the orange grove. Cut left. My heart is pounding in my chest like crazy, but I found this debris there. Yeah.
Okay, right, so these other two caught up with you afterward, you're standing there hidden behind the bushes. There's a car parked on the road, meeting, and then you see this. Is this the same pewter saucer that we saw earlier?
No, this one. Believe it or not, this one it may look like it, but it wasn't. It was more elongated.
I can see it's bigger. I see it.
I probably didn't illustrate it just right, but it was more elongated. It seemed to be more of a cigar shape.
It also has a beautiful green around the perimeter of it, looks like.
And it had a green phosphorus glow around the perimeter. Now you take away all that light, all we could see was that.
You couldn't see the trees, you couldn't see anything else. You could see the car lights and this green phosphorescent UFO on the ground.
Yes, and we couldn't see the car light. We didn't know a car was there because at that particular time the car lights were not on.
Ah.
And then when the car lights popped on, I knew that I'm in the wrong place. There's something really heavy duty going down here. So when the car lights popped on, whoever left the craft and got in the car was already in there, and the car was getting ready to leave.
Okay, so you got there after one or two occupants of the craft walked over to the car, you think, and got in the car, and the car...
Yes.
And you don't think you were seen, huh?
They knew I was there.
I would think so.
Yeah, they knew that I was there, but I didn't know that they knew that I was there, you know?
All right.
But
okay.
I didn't know that until later on when I finally figured out, they knew I was there. Because.
Okay. So we think maybe a terrestrial contact was driving the car and picked one or two people up and drove off with them.
It was one of two scenarios, and it had to be one and or the other. Either the ETs were already there, they rented a car, and this was one of their drivers, as was the George Adamski situation back in his time, or it was probably a NASA official that knew what they were doing.
Could have been one of the German scientists, even. Who knows?
It could have been one of them. It was either their people or, like you said, perhaps even one of the German scientists. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Very good. Fascinating.
Yeah.
So when
the
car drove away, did you guys take off or did you stay there and did the ship leave? What happened?
Oh, I turned. Once the car lights come on, I figured it was time to leave. So.
What about your two friends?
Oh, they were trying to see if they could beat me to the gate.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see. That's good. Very good.
Yeah. Yeah. An interesting note is the next day I thought, well, wait a minute. Where did that car go after it left from the rendezvous with the ship?
Uh-huh.
Because we were standing at a gate, and I thought that was the only access to that orange grove. So I said, I don't want to get in vehicles, breaking down molecular structures and, just disappearing. I didn't believe that. And once you read the book, you'll see what happened to that, where that vehicle went. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Okay.
Yeah.
Fascinating. It's all in the book, and just click on Jim's name, Travelers from Space. Okay, next picture. Nighttime, you spend a lot of time out at night. This is kind of fun.
I sure did.
All right.
Yes,
yeah.
I did.
All right, this appears to be some, what are these, buildings off in the distance? What am I looking at? There's a shed. It's kind of like a shed building.
Yeah, it was like a little mobile home structure, which okay, where we are right now, we're in Savannah, Georgia, which is about 300 miles, north of where I was living.
Okay.
Because I finished my job at the Cape, and this is mid-1969. My job finished at the Cape, and I traveled 300 miles to Savannah, Georgia on a construction site, and I was working for my dad at the time.
Mm.
On a construction site, so that's what you're looking at now.
Are you living in that building then?
Yeah, we're living in there, my dad, brother, and me. Yes.
Okay, all right. I see something suspicious in the sky above it.
Yeah, and the ship showed up one night while I was putting away dishes from a late dinner. And the ship, as a matter of fact, I was wondering, if they had forgotten about me. And they showed up that night.
How did you know they were there? Did you have a feeling? I need to go outside?
I got another hunch. And I went outside, and there was a ship there up the sky. And my dad came out, too, and we watched it for a few seconds, and then it shot off to the south.
How did you feel when it showed up there and made new contact with you? Did you kind of feel good about that? How'd you feel?
Oh, it was a great, it was a really great feeling. I remember having a deep sigh, standing at the kitchen sink, washing dishes, out a deep sigh, because I thought, oh my gosh, they're back and they haven't forgotten about me, you know? That was my thought, yeah.
They like Jim Oglesby.
Yeah, they like me, so maybe I had a cousin on there or something, you know?
You never know. All right. Let's go look at the next picture. The next picture is what, the object in the sky looked like?
This is what it looked like from once I went outside and took a good look. You know, this craft wasn't, we're not looking at a craft with a row of red flashing lights around it anymore. You're not seeing that. Instead, you're seeing a craft with a glow, a very distinct glow around it, you know. The top part was not, it was one full white. The top one just looks like a little gray, but it was one full white glow.
That's a very very pretty shape.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And what was, you know, I didn't put it in it, but there was a feeling of great feeling and joy emanating off this craft. It was like an energy coming off of it. You know.
I'm happy for you. That's a nice thing to hear.
Yeah, it gave me a great feeling. I think they were trying to instill some of that into my life at the time, which I was, you know, going through what humans go through, you know?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, good, good. That's a nice, a very nice uplifting moment.
Yeah.
Okay. Our next picture is an Adamski kind of scene. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, this is
looks like a convention.
Event. Yeah, this event slash, you read the whole story in the book, but I'll try to put it in a nutshell here. On this particular night, I was back.
We're going to go through the break, Todd. Go ahead,
okay.
Jim.
Go through the break?
Now you go right ahead, Jim. Don't worry.
Okay, the job had finished in Savannah, Georgia. I'm now back in Florida, and I'm living in renting a house in Oviedo, Florida, which is just a 10-minute drive from where all the UFO activity had occurred the previous year.
Right.
Okay, and a friend from the Cape had just left my house. We were talking about, you know, UFOs and some of the experiences that I had. Well, I went to bed, and as I laid down and started to pull the covers up, I realized I was not alone in the room.
Uh-huh.
So, yes. And the next thing I know, I'm propelled out of the bed, not physically, but once again, you read about it, you can read about the whole detailed experience in the book, but I was propelled out of body and above time track, and what I had Andy Lloyd, who's a great illustrator over from the UK,
uh-huh.
he did this for me. Now, in the real experience, that ship was center stage, and that being there, he's got him down as a little. He looks very, very almost malnutrition, but he wasn't. He was a very solid looking being, and he was standing right in front of that craft. And what's going on here is, long story short, this is a mass exodus, and something had just happened on Earth, either a mass solar ejection and or nuclear, I couldn't tell. They were trying to evacuate as many people as they could off the planet. Yes.
Was this a conscious out-of-body thing, or were you dreaming?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Conscious. Jeff, I was out of body, and I, first of all, right in my solar plexus, it was like something had speeded up my inner structure, if that's the right word. And my physical body was on the bed. The spiritual components were just accelerating through space, so I knew I was going somewhere quick above something, you know.
And you may not have been on Earth, right? Or is this?
I was out of body, gone. You know,
uh-huh.
I mean, the acceleration. I realized that I had accelerated, and I figured that I had went above the time track, and was looking at a future event. That's what I got from it. That was my impression.
So you're seeing, they're showing you something that is going to happen in the future, maybe. And these craft are taking off after having picked up what looked to be like people.
And coming and going.
The tall blonde at the foot of the stairs of this craft on the left is waiting, I guess, for other people to come over and go get on board. Is that the deal?
Yeah, and like I said, in the real experience, that craft was center stage, and that being was standing there, but he was really, really filled out better. And he was looking, what I thought, at me. He could have been looking through me. I couldn't tell which one. And he said, telepathically, "We have come." And that's the three words that he gave me. And if you notice, Jeff, that they didn't come in and prevent this Holocaust, whatever happened, but they did come in afterward and rescue a lot of us humans. You know, probably maybe to save DNA. I don't know.
Was this your idea that this was something that was going to happen on Earth then? You think that was where you were still? Okay. And you were seeing a future event of an evacuation?
Absolutely. You know, it's not a question of if, but when, you know?
Okay.
And for me to put a date on it, well, you know how that is. That's the kiss of death, because it makes you look pretty foolish, yeah.
Well, these aren't enormous craft. They obviously can hold, you know, maybe, what, 20 people? I don't know.
They were like scout, like excavation-type craft, but they were taking off at the minute. The sky was full of them. He's only showing a few here. In my experience, the sky was full. There were hundreds of craft, and they were taking, you know, coming and going, taking as many as they could. And the sky was real, a brilliant kind of a white, bluish kind of a tint to it.
Yeah. Still in nighttime. Still,
this was. Ooh, it was. I gotta think daytime. Yeah,
twilight.
I would think.
It seems like it's a little dark up there in the top of the sky. That's why I'm saying that.
Yeah, Andy. You know, he did a good job on this. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it, but he wasn't able to capture what exactly the experience that. Because all I know is if you looked at it, the sky was a brilliant bluish whitish to it. It was like something had just happened, you know.
It was not a natural color, and something else going on. This tall blonde was a classic ET, tallish, long hair. They all are supposedly very handsome men, very attractive women, and they wear often, I hear, blue, form-fitting suits.
Yep, that was him. Blue eyes, blonde hair,
Did you, in your experience, go into that craft, or was this just a moment that you remembered from it in your out-of-body experience? Do you know?
Okay, I'm looking at it, and it faded away, and then next thing I know, I'm waking up in bed,
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Understand.
Yeah, but somebody was in the bed. So that was a stranger in the bed.
Somebody else was in your bed with you?
Somebody.
No, I mean, you felt a presence there.
There was a stranger in the bedroom. Yes, no question about it. And he induced that experience.
Oh.
Yeah.
You never saw him. You just sensed him.
Yeah, and I also had an experience with him when I was a youngster. You'll read about it in the book.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. He come back and which I found interesting, Jeff, is why would he have set up that experience for me? You know, because what could I do? You know, I couldn't go out and save the world. You know, all I can do is share the experience. But
well, maybe it was to get you ready for this program. I don't know.
Hey, fancy. I'll take it.
A lot of people are listening to you, and they're paying very close attention to this remarkable story. Okay, next. Go ahead.
One more thing. I want to say this, you know, to your listeners. There's no question that I've got the right medium here via Jeff Rentz's program, and Jeff Rentz, you know, as an individual, I have so much respect for you, and you know, it's nice to converse with someone who has so much awareness and so much compassion for you know, for people. Yeah, I just I want to let you know that.
Thank you, and the thanks go to you for sharing this and for working so hard to memorialize these events in the book. And I would urge all of you, the detail in the book is far more exquisite than what we're able to do on the program. The book is Travelers from Space. Just click on Jim Oglesby's name and you go right to the Amazon page. It's only $2.99 Kindle, so you can't lose. It's a quiet story. Okay, our next picture shows the Cape area.
Yeah.
And above that is a craft. Explain the picture to us. What are we looking at?
Okay, on this particular event for night, I'm on the end. It's nighttime. I'm on a little boat that I had bought, and my mom and my dad are with me. We're on the Indian River. You can see it right there. I got my location in the river. We're on a little boat there. It's nighttime. It's a beautiful, balmy night with some stars out.
Yeah.
And I look up, and there's a craft, and they right away they made a connection with me. And interestingly enough, they're right above Cape Canaveral Air Force Station.
I see the craft. It's right above the C and A and the word location. Right over the boat. And who else is in the boat with you? Your mom and who?
My mom and my dad. Yeah, we were out fishing one night. Yeah.
What did they say when they look up with you and see this craft?
You know, I didn't bring that broach subject to them that night. I just kind of took it, you know, for myself and, you know, the craft, it kind of moved on, you know, yeah.
How long was it over the boat?
Probably 10 seconds.
Uh-huh.
Just to say, hey, here we are, and then it kind of moved off, yeah.
And your folks saw it?
Yeah, my dad looked up, and he had already had experience with me earlier, you know.
Yes, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, so he knew about them, yeah, and as did my mom, too. She had already had experience, yeah, so.
Well, very interesting fishing trip at night. Must have been beautiful that night, yeah.
Oh, Jeff, it was balmy, and, you know, and the wind was, and you looked up and there was some stars up and you see that craft, you know.
Mm.
It didn't get any better than that night.
Wow. I'd love to experience something like that.
Yeah.
Well, very nice. All right.
Yeah.
Moving down to the next picture, we have looks like a tall blonde.
Yes, him.
And where are we here?
This is 1974. This craft is above my bedroom. I bought a new mobile home. I'm back in the area of where everything happened. You know, I bought a mobile home, acre of land, and I'm in that area, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Really? So you settled down there, and no accident. I mean, you had serious connections to that land, for obvious reasons. And I get the feeling that whoever these folks are, they had a great investment in that area of real estate around the Cape, and they were there a lot. And you were one of their you were obviously one of their favorites. Now, this is above your trailer on your 1 acre.
Yeah.
Are we suggesting here that you went into the craft?
No, I wish I would have, but this being came out that night, and the craft was I went out after this happened. I went outside and I got to watch the craft leave. So it was probably several hundred feet above the mobile home. Yeah,
you knew it was there. How did you know it was there? Again, a hunch.
Yeah, well, I'm sitting in the living room and the TV's on, and all of a sudden I got a hunch to turn off the boob tube and open the front door, and then I got a visual on a craft. It started, first of all, when I looked up, I couldn't see anything. And then it looked like a star started to move. And then it paused, so I knew that the ship was there. At that time, I went back into the bedroom, and when I went back there, my wife was sitting up in bed. And, you know, she had retired early, and it was unusual for her to be sitting up in bed. So anyway, I went in and laid on the bed. And long story short is I'm laying there, and this blue beam came down through from the craft, down through the roof of the mobile home, and went right into my solar plexus. And at the time, I was having some physical complications, and that blue beam healed one of the complications, but oddly enough, it didn't heal the other one, because my impression from this beam was it was a karmic situation with the other one. So
very interesting. So the blue beam, the blue beam, were you able to see it come through the roof?
Yeah, it was blue, like a little bit bigger than a pencil, maybe.
Uh huh.
Yeah, and came right down through the mobile home and right into my solar plexus. Yeah, and it felt like a rhythmic feeling in there, very like something was massaging, you know, the upper gastro thing that I had going on there. Yeah.
Right. Now, did your wife see the little blue beam?
She was sitting there with her eyes closed, and she was being the vehicle for this being at the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I get
she
it.
Was just, and after that happened, she said in a very slow tone of voice, she said, "He wants to know if there's anything else that you would like to know before he leaves." And I said, "Yet, when will they be back?" And his response was, "When you're ready."
What an amazing encounter. Another one.
Yeah.
And they used your wife as the medium to communicate.
They used her. Exactly.
Did you explain this to her the next day, Jim?
And she, she got a little teary-eyed about it, because she was feeling the energy coming off of this being, you know? Yeah.
So she accepted that, no problem. She didn't necessarily remember it, but she accepted it.
Yes, she did. Yeah.
She didn't pack up and leave. Okay.
No.
That's good. That's a good woman. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very nice. Well, interesting. So let me say one other thing. Your friends, and we're going to call them your friends now because you've earned it.
They are, and they still are, yeah.
Yeah, and they, well, we'll get there too. This is interesting.
Yeah.
So they healed, you were having a GI problem of some kind, whatever, and they healed that, and they said the rest of it is for you to heal. It's a karmic thing.
And that was, because I kind of put the thought up. I was putting the thought up, and he read my thought. And he was, once he read my thought, he said, "The other's a karmic situation." Yeah.
What an interesting message.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's kind of suggests that we're responsible for our own actions, and karma is real, whatever word you want to use to call it.
Yeah.
The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And when you don't, you get problems, and a lot of physical disability comes from misdirected actions and poor decisions. Those are quick karma things. Were you able to isolate that and work on it as time went by?
Yeah, and I address some of that in the book as you read, you'll see. And and part of that is still with me right now, and I'm still working on that. And yes, absolutely.
What a nice thing. They really cared about you and still do.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, that's a remarkable thing. I really do feel that there's an honest reason to suggest that during those many, many nights you were outside for hours and hours and hours, that there may have been far more contact than you're consciously able to access. If you ever wanted to do hypnotic regression, you might find something out. You might not. I don't know. Maybe they've got that completely walled away where you can't get to it. You don't know. But it's a very interesting relationship. Yeah. Have you ever had hypnotic regression?
No, I haven't, but there's a lady down in Miami. She has a website, and, I've been keeping in touch with her. She is a hypnotist and someone that I would trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm going to take a trip down there, because she offered to do it if I would come down and, stay overnight, and she would do it for me. So I think I'll do that. Yeah.
Well, I think that's an important thing to do. It sounds like your inner voice is saying, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. All right, the next picture. We see your friends down the road ahead of you on the right at night. What are we seeing there?
Are you looking at the You're looking at the little light on the side.
Side of the road. Yeah.
Yeah. Here, this is 2010.
Oh, really? So we're fast forward here. Okay.
We fast forward. I'm living in my parents' home. I'm living in another little town. I'm living right now in a town of 60 miles away from where I was living in the mobile home. I'd since transferred that mobile home to my dad. Uh-huh. And he had that, and so I'm now living in my parents' house. They recently were passed on, so I'm caretaking mm-hmm. the house.
Uh-huh.
So I'm in the living room one night, sitting there very quietly, and I go, I wonder if my friends are still around. If they are, I'd appreciate it if they'd let me know. So 3 nights later, I drove, this road is State Road 44. I drove, it was daytime, I drove State Road 44 about 25 miles away to a restaurant and had dinner. By that time, it was getting on to late in the afternoon. By the time I had got to this point here, it was starting to get dark, and they responded by putting that little disc up there, the little sphere, I guess, up on the side of the road, just to let me know that they had acknowledged my thought. Yeah.
That's very nice. Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the markings on the road, headlights of the car, for those of you who are looking at it, the two headlights on the right side, and then I assume those are, bike lanes on either side?
Yeah.
On the outer edge?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
I'm trying to get that.
You got it.
Cool.
The craft itself stayed there as you drove past it, or did it move away before you got to it?
It was there as soon as I got good eye contact, and they knew inside the craft that I had recognized it, because you know they were tuned in to both ends, and mm-hmm. then it just shot away. Yeah.
Very nice, nice story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have an actual photograph next with a gate, locked gate.
This gate. State Road 420 is just on this side of that gate, okay, and this is the area where a lot of this went down. Now, if you go straight through that, over that gate, and go that way, about a half a mile away was the landing site of where the two craft landed on New Year's Eve 67 and, other landings.
Oh.
But this is the old gate that was there at that time, Yeah.
Somebody doesn't want people going in there. I guess it may be normal. I don't read anything into it that isn't there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's just a picture of the gate, Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have one more image.
Okay.
And this is back to Fort Christmas Road. Is this sort of a compilation of things that happened? Uh-huh.
This is from December 31st, 1967 through September the 15th, 1968. This is the total activity that went down in that area, believe it or not, less than an hour's drive west of Kennedy Space Center.
Well, what's amazing to me still is the night you were out there and they sent a B-52 from Patrick Air Force Base to take pictures of the landed flying saucer, we'll call it. And now these recon planes have very powerful flash and cameras. They're state-of-the-art. They're far in advance of what most people would think. But this goes back 50 years.
Oh yeah, the camera equipment that they used back then it lit up the whole ground below, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Well, what they have now is God only knows. This is a real nice overview and summary map. Very nice area that you've laid out. Who can't like Fort Christmas Road? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't recognize it now, Jeff. It's it's condos and. Communities, just really residential community. Lake Pickett right now, at the time when this happened, there was probably 3 or 4 homes scattered around the lake. Now it's, we're talking $200,000 or $300,000 homes or even higher.
Wow.
All around it, tennis courts, golf course and all that, so it's all changed now, yeah.
Lake Pickett, was that named for the Civil War? It's Pickett's Charge?
I don't know. Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
This brings us to the point of where I would want to remind people. Well, it's not over yet. Travelers from Space is the book, and we've been very much blessed to have Jim Oglesby with us four visits now to walk us through some of the highlights of it. An extraordinary story, just a remarkable story. What are your feelings about our friends who are here, obviously, whenever they want to be, and involved with people? These were the tall blondes, the Nordics, we think.
Yes. Yeah,
are you still putting out thoughts for them occasionally? Do you want to?
Yeah, yeah. I've had no observations, you know, but I've had two or three, I guess you were going to call it telepathic kind of transmission with them, and I'm working right now to get myself into a physical area remote where I can see what can develop from that, because I haven't given up on taking a ride on that ship yet.
Call him in, let him know. Well, if you go down to the woman in Miami for the hypnotic regression sessions, she'll record those, of course. And I think that's, if you're ready mentally, I think it's a very good thing to do. And it would be very much of an interest to, I'm sure, all of our listeners and myself, if you'd share with us what happens with that. That would be, I think, a real fun thing to hear. I think there's more there than you consciously recall. That's my feeling, but...
Yeah, that's interesting, because when I talked to her at the time, you know, I was pretty much convincing myself that everything that happened to me just had to do with physical craft, and there wasn't anything, you know, nothing like that had occurred. But since I've been on your program, and you brought up some interesting points on that, I think that it would be a good idea to explore that, and who knows, you know, yeah.
Well, I think you're ready for it, and I think it would be a worthy thing to do. It sounds like you picked somebody who is a professional and has the right attitude and understands that this can be very sensitive for people and also very fascinating. I got a feeling you're going to see these folks again. I don't think they're...
Thank you. They're aware.
They're aware of you. You were one of their favorite people.
Yeah, they should put a... You know, they had a lot of enduring patience with me all this time to, you know, and one thing about them is the no conditions. They would be, you're talking about unconditional love.
Yeah.
I mean, never judgmental.
Never forced anything on you, never judged, never put, I got that. You made that very clear.
They accepted me as I was, and just. Yeah.
Well, that's a lesson, I think, for all humankind that we should strive for. I think there was a point in our contemporary development where those values were known and were respected by far more people than understand them now. We've been led astray, our younger generations, and there's much to learn for those folks, the younger people, and this book, I think, could be helpful to a lot of them. I wonder how many of them are being actually interacted with anymore.
You know what? Interesting you brought that point up, because this is, from my observations from the craft right now, that they're staying at higher altitudes and they're doing that. And this is what I received. This is what I got one night. I went out to a field and I was out there for 2-3 hours, and I put some questions out, and what I got back was that we are now staying at higher altitudes because of the technology, you know, the military satellites and what have you around the Earth right now is not like it was back in your day.
That was the word they use, back in your day.
And they use those words. It, you know, it's like as if you're talking to your next door neighbor, you know. And they said that they were not actually coming down a low level and engaging, contacting people.
Not interacting like they used to.
No, and the fact that they had pulled back because they had tried so many times to meet with military and higher ups and what have you in the government and all, and they didn't seem to want to cooperate, so now they're back as observers.
Stupid humans.
Yeah.
Stupid
yes.
humans.
Yes.
There are some real dummies in charge of the show right now.
Yes.
Wow. Jim, thank you on behalf of lot of folks who really enjoyed getting to know you and sharing part of your story. It's all in Jim's book, Travelers from Space. Just click on his name and pick yourself up a copy or go Kindle and read the story. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk again.
Yes. Okay, Jeff. Thank you.
All righty. Good night.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me on your program, too.
Oh, I'm honored. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Mr. Jim Oglesby. Great story. All right. Well, kind of not too much to say except to think about those things. We will be back tomorrow night. It's Friday night. Talk to you then.